The Moon Zappa recording of Valley Girls helped give a name to the wealthy teenagers who are known for their original slang and obsession with fashions and status. With me is Mimi Pond, the author and illustrator of a new book called The Valley Girls Guide to Life. She's a cartoonist whose work has appeared in the Village Voice and is featured regularly in the National Lampoon. Her cartoon strip in it is called Mimi Pond's Famous Waitress School. She grew up in San Diego and recently moved to New York and has been cartooning professionally for about 4 years. Mimi Pond, welcome to Fresh Air.
Hi.
Before we talk about some of your other cartooning work, let's talk about your new Guide to Valley Girls book. What's your connection to this phenomenon?
Well, it's something I've always been familiar with. Dell offered me the chance to do this book because my editor there, like, he knew, okay, that I did this, like, California accent. It was just, like, totally there, okay? It was like, then I got into, like, the whole slang and everything, you know, and, like, discovered, like, it wasn't bogus at all. Like, people were, like, talking like that totally all over the place.
How did you pick it up?
Well, I got on the phone and I started calling everyone I knew in San Diego and L.A. And people were, this was in early July, and people were like crazy for it there at the time. And they all said, oh, I don't have anything right now. Call me back on Monday. I'll have a whole list for you. And then, you know, so I amassed these hilarious glossary terms, and then I went to I went to San Diego and L.A. to do research and met some really great Valley Girls, genuine Valley Girls, for whom it is no joke. And I had a lot of fun talking to them and, you know, recording them.
How did you introduce yourself to them as a cartoonist anthropologist studying their culture?
No, I just said, you know, I'm doing a book on Valley Girls. Tell me what it's like. And they went, like, okay, it's like this, you know, first you, like, you go to the mall and you, like, hang out and, you know, and so you shop for cute clothes and, like, you hang out, you know, and, like, watch dudes, you cruise for dudes and, like, you gotta brush your hair all the time and stuff so that you look totally, you know, like, into the full buff, like, all the time, really. Like that's totally important because, like, if you're not popular, people won't like you. And they went on and on like that, and I just, you know, took notes and said, yes, sir.
Who thought who was crazier?
Oh, I didn't think they were crazy, and they didn't think I was crazy. I think I was brought up right or something. I was raised to be polite to people, especially. I'm a gem with old ladies. I nod politely and look earnest and say, mm-hmm, and they just go on talking. And it's like that with just about anyone. People love to talk.
Do the people who you know who are in high school now tend to be inside or outside that group?
Well, these were mostly junior high school kids that I talked to, and I think that's a more of an age where it really happens, because when you're, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, it's really impossible to be any other way but completely, you know, like, hormones on parade, I'm sure. God, it's like you can't stop thinking about dudes and, like, talking to your friends about clothes and, like, just, like, all the time, you know, it's like you're going crazy and, like, you worry all the time. You become totally neurotic and, God, it's, like, hard, you know? Like, would you be 13 again, okay? Like, would you? Would you? Like, I'm sure.
What were you doing when you were 12 and 13?
I went to slumber parties. Now they're called sleepovers, you know, and they do the same thing they did then, which is like a good thing to do is like call up some dude and like tell him it's like this girl that you totally hate and stuff and like say like that you're madly in love with him and like you loved him forever and like you can hardly wait to get married to him and stuff. And like if the dude's like dumb enough, sometimes he even believes you and then it's like totally fun. people's houses and stuff, really neat stuff, you know, like hang out in front of the 7-Eleven, eat Doritos, mac out on Doritos, get sick, you know, like really fun stuff.
I think one of the things I find really fascinating about this is that exactly the things that some older people consider to be really unhip, like shopping malls, are exactly what's really hip if you're that age.
Yeah.
And if you live in, I guess, the suburbs, yeah, where shopping malls tend to be the center of things.
The place to go. Yeah, the only place to go. There's a whole mall culture. I spent 9 hours taping with Evening Magazine in Boston in a mall, and we had a lot of fun, but it was like, you know, all day long in this mall. But it was interesting because these girls who worked in the shop where we were taping were like completely unaware of the fact that they themselves were Vals. You know, they were like, oh yeah, Valley girls, uh-huh. And they're like, they had one of them had like this really cute little mini, and the other one had like her skin tight stonewashed jeans, and they're like dancing around to the music and totally bored and stuff. And the 29-year-old host of the show, this woman, was trying on these, you know, these Valley girl outfits, which is to say, like, you know, like a really cute mini dress with like this Wonder Woman belt and like metallic flat shoes and like a headband and leg warmers and stuff like that. And she looked like, you know, kind of dumb because, like, okay, she's mature and stuff. And the shop girls were saying, God, no, that's really cute. It's, like, totally you. Like, you should buy it. No, I'm not kidding. I'm serious. God. And I said, we were trying to figure out what shoes to put her in for one outfit. And I said, well, what about those boots? And the sales girl looks at me and she says, God, are you totally kidding? Like, quel taqua.
A who?
Quel taqua.
Oh, quel taqua, right.
Which was one I'm afraid I didn't manage to get on my glossary list.
So how have you been dressing for the tour?
I'm dressing mostly in my normal urban sophisticate look, you know, which, you know, I am like a vastly sophisticated cosmopolite. You can tell by looking at me. No, I didn't want to dress up as a Val because, like, I'm not a Val. I don't care what they say. I'm not. I swear I'm not. Like, okay, was Margaret Mead a savage? Okay.
So have you seen any interesting scenes happening between Valley Girl types and young punks?
Well, I don't know if it's like so much punks as like there's a lot of antagonism between Vals and surfers in California. There's a lot of anti-Val sentiment. There's Vals go home sprayed on the tunnel at Malibu and in Venice. Like, no self-respecting Valley girl would ever, like, set foot in Venice, the beach at Venice, because, like, she would get her butt kicked by some skanky surfer dude, okay? I walked the beach I walked from all the way from Venice to Malibu, which is quite a hike, and just observing and asking kids questions. And I approached these three girls who I was sure were Valley girls. They had all the, you know, had like these sort of little S&M bathing suits. Like, they crossed over a lot of like crossover straps all over the place, and kind of like very minuscule. And they had sunglasses and tans and Walkmans, and, you know, they're just the right suntan lotion and everything. And I said, you know, are you Vals? And he's like, no way! Are you kidding, Vals? I'm sure. God, what a cut, man. And then they were kidding. Their friends were like, but she's a Val. Monique, you're a Val. Face it, you're a Val. Let's face it. God, I'm not. So, you know, it's like they see it as some, you know, like something to look down upon. But the true Vals themselves who I met were really into it. You know, they were like really proud of it. You know, like, yeah, we're Vals for sure.
Tell me what you think. Do you think that there's a way that the whole kind of media popularity of Valley Girls and the record as well is maybe just twisting things a little bit so that it becomes a kind of sexist expression? You're like, oh, girls, they're really stupid and always obviously obsessed with fashion.
Yeah, well, it could be construed that way, and I don't think it need be, because I, like I said, I think that when you're, you know, an adolescent girl, it's really hard to be any other way. They're trying as hard as they can to fit in. And I think anything that you need to do when you're that age, you know, short of, you know, drugs and alcohol and stuff to fit in, anything that you need to do is fine, you know, if that makes you feel better, because it's a hell of an age. It's terrible. But I've had some negative response, you know, like, oh yeah, Valley girls are real airheads, aren't they? And it's not that they are, it's just that they have one foot in adolescence and one foot in childhood, which all teenagers do, and it's rough, and you're just trying to have fun and fit in.
What's the male counterpart?
Dudes, man. They're like, okay, like, dudes are, like, mostly, like, guys who are kind of jocks and stuff, and, like, they can drive, they're, like, supposed to have, like, really awesome cruise mobiles and stuff, like, vets are, like, top of the line, okay, like, Datsun Z cars, or, like a Trans Am, or, like, like one of those, like, cute little pickup trucks and stuff, but they can only be black. Or, like, something four-wheel drive, anything is really cool, but only in black. Anything else is, like, too boofoo, okay? You know, like, they're really obsessed with not being boofoo, which is, like, to say, like, potentially homosexual. Bufu.
What
like,
the...
don't ask what it stands for, man. Like, it's too dirty. I can't say, man.
Maybe you could spell it for us. We'll figure it out. Mimi Pond is my guest, and she's written a new book of cartoons and of cartoons and writing, and it's published on Dell Books, and it's called The Valley Girl's Guide to Life. You've been cartooning professionally for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. When did you know you wanted to become a cartoonist?
Well, always. My father was an amateur cartoonist, and he taught me how to draw, basically. He taught me just about everything. I went to art school and learned a lot there, but he really taught me the cartoon element, and he's just a wonderful, fabulous person, and I love him very much. And he also, he gave me my sense of humor, but my mother, I learned how to observe things from my mother. She and her best friend we would all go shopping together in the mall, and they would sit around and at lunch and say, oh my God, did you see that one? Did you see that one? I couldn't believe it. That dress, could you believe it? And so it's just, I'm always watching things, always. And I started cartooning in the Berkeley Barb and started selling stuff to National Lampoon and worked my way up to the Village Voice, and now here I am.
What are some of the subjects you like to do?
Well, I like, I hate to say, you know, women's subjects, you know, women's topics, because they don't necessarily need be, but more, you know, women's issues, like the pieces I do in the Voice range from everything from, like, sex to shoes to which I think are closely interlinked, by the way, sex and shoes.
Only for some people.
Only for women. And to furniture, to relationships, and fashion. I love doing fashion parody, but it's a lot of fun. I have a lot of freedom in the voice.
Are people still surprised that there are women who cartoon?
They sure are. I've been doing a lot of interviews for this, and they say, "No, who illustrated this book, Mimi?" I did. I illustrated it. Like, oh, you did? Oh, well, you know. And I think people are still surprised that there are women cartoonists, and there's lots of really fine women cartoonists, and they need to get more attention.
How do you let magazines know that you are available? How did you send your work out initially before people knew it?
Well, I was real lucky because I was appearing in the Berkeley Barb for about 6 months, and I sent my work to the National Lampoon, and Sherry Flanagan, who is one of my best friends and one of my favorite cartoonists, did a strip called Trots and Bonnie for a long time, and the National Lampoon was the cartoon editor there, and she liked my work and brought it to the attention of the editor, who was P.J. O'Rourke back then, and they took me on, and she has taught me a tremendous amount about cartooning. She's just great.
I want to thank you for talking with us about cartoons and about your new book. Mimi Pond has been my guest, and her new book is called The Valley Girl's Guide to Life, and it's a book of cartoons with a glossary and a lot of other subject matter about
for sure.
Valley Girls, yes. And she also cartoons for the Village Voice and has a strip that appears regularly in the National Lampoon. And the Valley Girls book is published by Dell. Thanks a lot for being
Thank
with
you.
Us.
Thank you. And anybody who thinks that Valley Girls are dumb, they can just, like, bite the ice, okay? Okay? I'm serious. I mean, no, really. I mean it. Really, I do.
Thanks.
Thank you.